Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking together about the great adventure, right? The time where we are in right now, and we've been using Lewis and Clark kind of as an example, as a backdrop. And so, throughout these couple of weeks, we've traveled with Lewis and Clark. We've traveled with the prophet Isaiah every week. We've traveled with the Magi, and we've traveled with Jesus. You know, there's something deeply moving about the moment an explorer finally discovers what they have imagined for years. You know, Lewis and Clark recorded many of these kind of moments in their journals. The first view of the Rocky Mountains rising up in the distance, the first time that they tasted the salty air of the Pacific, first time they realized that the vast continent could be crossed. But one of the lesser-known celebrations came on June 13th of 1805, when Meriwether Lewis stood on a ridge overlooking the thundering Great Falls of the Missouri. He had heard from the native tribes that there were Great Falls coming up, but he had never seen them before, and so he couldn't picture them in his mind. Lewis had a single, maybe big, waterfall, something impressive, but something easily manageable. Instead, he found five massive waterfalls spread out over miles with rivers crashing and roaring through the plains. The sight was breathtaking, majestic, almost unbelievable. Lewis ran from one vantage point to another vantage point, overwhelmed by the sheer beauty that he was experiencing. And in his journal, he writes this. He says, "It began to make a roaring too tremendous to be mistaken for any cause short of the Great Falls of the Missouri. A sublimely grand spectacle, the grandest sight I had ever held." Lewis stood in awe, not because his journey all of a sudden became easier, but because in the middle of hardship, he was met with an unexpected joy. You know, joy has a way of doing that. It surprises you. It erupts out of the wilderness. It breaks into places that no one could have expected. And the season of Advent tells us to look for it. Most of us don't think of joy as something that comes in the wilderness seasons of our life. We like to schedule joy. We want to wrap it in a box. We plan for it on a calendar. Or we wait for life to get easier before we let ourselves feel it. I think that the world's notion of joy is that when everything is fixed, that's when joy appears. But Scripture tells us something very different, that joy breaks into the world while it is still unfinished. Joy blossoms when no one expects it. Joy takes root in the desert. This is what Advent teaches us, that joy is not the result of a perfect life. Joy is the presence of God in the middle of an imperfect life. And today's scriptures, Isaiah 35 and Luke 1, are overflowing with this kind of joy. So Isaiah is speaking to a group of people who feel lost, who feel exiled and weary. They're not home, they're not secure, they're not strong. And it's in that context that Isaiah declares something simply outrageous. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Right, did you catch it? The wilderness shall rejoice. The desert is going to be glad. Even the barren places will bloom. God doesn't say he's going to take his people away from the wilderness before joy arrives. He says that the wilderness itself, the place of dryness and difficulty and danger. It's this space will become a place of rejoicing. The joy that the Bible talks about is transformation, not escape. Isaiah continues and he says this, that they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. That joy is rooted in seeing God's glory, even when our circumstances haven't changed. And Isaiah speaks directly to the weary hearts of his readers. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come to save you. Joy has a voice, and it speaks courage into fear. It speaks strength into weakness and hope in despair. And then Isaiah's vision now comes to a crescendo point. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer. The mute tongue shall shout for joy. Water will gush forth and streams in the desert. The burning sands will be like a pool, the thirsty ground like a bubbling spring. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. Only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with thanksgiving or with singing. With everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. And this has got to be one of the most joyful, hope-filled passages in all of Scripture. And at its heart is this, that joy is a sign of God's future breaking into our present. And we don't have to wait for things to become fixed or perfect or settled. That joy breaks into our mess. And then we turn to Luke chapter 1, where a young teenage girl from Nazareth bursts into song. A song of joy that shakes both heaven and earth. Mary's joy isn't some sort of shallow rejoicing. It is not a denial of reality. It is not the joy of someone with an easy life. Mary's situation is a mixture of calling and danger. Mary's pregnant before marriage, in a culture that could condemn her to death for this. Mary's poor. She's socially vulnerable. She's entering a future that she cannot understand. And yet she sings. Right? My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And it doesn't make any sense to us until we learn her secret, that Mary's joy doesn't come from her circumstances. Her joy comes from the God who sees her. Mary's joy is a joy born from the God who lifts up the lowly and brings down the mighty. It is the joy of justice and mercy and salvation. Mary is singing Isaiah's promise that God is making all things new. That joy is breaking into the wilderness places of this world. That God's future is arriving in her womb. Mary's joy isn't quiet. It isn't small, It's revolutionary. And this is the joy that we speak of when we speak of joy in Advent. You know, going back to Lewis and Clark, Lewis wrote, right, the grandeur of the scenes, it filled me with feelings I cannot express. The joy that Lewis had at seeing the Great Falls wasn't because his journey was successful, right? He was nowhere near finished. In fact, the hardest points of the journey lay ahead of him. The mountains still loomed. Supplies were tight. Winter would be brutal. But the simple wonder of creation, the shock of this beauty in a barren place, filled him with a joy that strengthened his spirit for the road that lay ahead of him. And joy does not always remove obstacles. Sometimes joy simply gives us the strength to face them. And again, this is the joy of Advent. Not a joy that defies or denies reality, but a joy that transforms reality. And so let's bring this a little bit closer this morning. Where is your wilderness right now? Where do you feel dry? Where do you feel weary? Where have you been longing and waiting and praying, sometimes wondering if God even sees you? Isaiah says, joy will blossom even there. Mary tells you that God sees you and his mercy is for you. I think we need to hear this today, not because Advent joy is some sort of forced happiness or pretending everything is fine or ignoring grief or disappointment. Advent joy is God meeting you in your wilderness, God's future breaking into your present, God's love lifting you up, God's mercy embracing you, God's spirit strengthening you in your weariness. And this week of Advent invites us into three practices of joy. And the first practice is this. Notice the beauty of God in your wilderness. What is God doing around you right now that you might be tempted to miss? Where is God showing up in small miracles, in unexpected graces, in surprising moments of beauty? You know, Lewis discovered 5 waterfalls when he only expected 1. What joy might God be revealing that is larger than you could have expected? And in the busyness of this season, pause and pray. Lord, open my eyes to the joy already blooming around me. The second practice is this, to let joy strengthen your heart. Remember what Isaiah said. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. And joy is not a luxury. Joy is a strength. Joy is a spiritual weapon. Joy is a part of our discipleship. And we need to let the joy of the Lord strengthen us when we feel tired or discouraged. And the third practice is this, to sing your Magnificat. Sing your story. Mary just didn't feel joy. She expressed it. It came out of her. And joy becomes stronger when it is spoken, when it is sung, when it is shared, when it is celebrated. What is your song for this Advent? For what do you magnify the Lord? And where has God shown you mercy? And where has God been faithful? I would encourage you to write it down, to speak it aloud, to share it with someone. Let your joy become your song. And church, imagine if we became a people of Advent joy. Not a shallow joy, not a surface level holiday cheer, but a deep, biblical, wilderness breaking, Mary singing, desert blooming joy. A church where fear is met with courage and discouragement is met with hope. People who feel on the outside and low hear that God sees them. That joy would blossom in places long barren, and the people would walk together in the holy way, singing praises to our God. This is what Advent prepares us for. This is what Advent calls us to do. And like Lewis and Clark, we stand on the ridgelines on our journey, catching glimpses of God's breathtaking beauty, realizing that even though the road ahead may hold challenges, that God gives us joy in our journey. And so today we sing Mary's song, we join Isaiah's vision, we join the angel's proclamation, we join the long line of believers who have discovered joy, not after the wilderness, but in the wilderness itself. And we know this because Jesus is coming. And in him, joy has come. Joy is coming, and joy will come again. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for the joy that you bring. Lord, we ask your forgiveness this morning for accepting a shallow joy that this world offers or that this world defines. And instead, let us see the joy that you offer as a spiritual weapon. A joy that defies our circumstances. A joy that defies our wilderness. A joy that simply resides in your presence. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set your people free. We long for the joy, dear Jesus, that you offer. And it's in your name we pray this morning. Amen.